abusive? No, I'm just saying, now I have the recording going, then it's going to have dead air there.
So anyway, it feels like emergency.
Yes, that's to me too.
Emergency.
Yep. Okay, everybody. I don't know where Teresa went. I think she disconnected herself.
Anybody there?
Yeah. Who's
hi, Debbie. It's Marilyn.
Marilyn, hi. Yes, it was very, very quiet. It's like Teresa said, I'm going to turn on the recording at my end. And I said, okay, I will at my end. And then I think she disconnected herself.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
well, I connected it, said it was recording, but I thought, well, there's no one speaking.
I know, because I was thinking, okay, so now I have all this dead air, and I'm waiting for people. So people are going to, like, get the recording and go, wait, nobody's saying anything.
Everyone's hiding.
Yeah, exactly. So, welcome.
Well, I haven't gotten to sleep yet, so I don't know what kind of vibes I'll be giving.
Well, you know,
it'll be good one.
I don't think I knew this. You sent in your intentions. I don't think I knew this issue about sleep before.
Say again?
I said, I don't think I knew this issue for you about sleep before, so.
What do you mean? I mean, I always have to go to sleep and then wake up.
I know, but didn't
but
you say
an issue?
You're having issues with sleeping?
Well, these days, yes, because I'm being woken up by the things I wrote about, the intentions.
Got it. Yeah, I'm not going
to. Okay.
Yeah, I got them.
Yeah.
So they're definitely included.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You're
I mean, it's
very,
really
very
funny.
Well.
I just finished the project that I had to do just about one of the problems that I have 10 minutes before it was time to connect.
I love it.
Thank you, Lord. I'm like, going, yes. I can get in on the conference now.
That's great.
Yeah. Isn't it? That means like I feel like I've just given myself a present.
Yay, you have, and all of us actually. So thank
yeah.
you for showing up.
Oh, well, thank you for being here. Really, I appreciate these sessions so much.
You know what? So do I. You're very, very welcome, and so do I.
Good.
We do.
Is that Teresa?
Yeah.
I started the recording, and then
yes.
you went dead.
Uh-oh.
Went dead. So, like, people are going to listen to this recording and go, wait, I must be doing it wrong. Nobody's saying anything. Okay, so let's just start, since we're going to leave the lines open.
Yep.
And people will show up as they show up.
Okay.
Anybody
so
have anything they want to say or anything that they want to intend or anything they feel important to say before we begin? In actuality, we've already begun. So, and this whole emergency energy is very prevalent around us, and what I'm doing is that energy can't be avoided right now. It's like right here in my face. So,
emergency energy?
Yeah, there's been like fire trucks and police around me all day. So
wow.
Fascinating. So it's like I'm like in this very peaceful, tranquil place, and around me,
uh-huh.
the world is
uh-huh.
going crazy.
Uh-huh.
And so, and you know, in such a way as just flashing lights and emergencies everywhere. So it feels to me like we're needing to. I just kind of feel like this swirling, harmonizing energy. We somehow need to blend our frequencies, and it has very much to do with our central nervous systems being out of whack.
Yeah, it's like resetting the central nervous system.
Yep.
And really not just resetting it, but updating it as well.
Yes. Total reboot. And that's actually one of the things I was reading about today with solar eclipses and new moons. New moons are always about new beginnings, and they're just relevant depending on where they fall and what's going on in our lives. But the solar eclipse is also about new beginnings, so it's very much about magnifying that energy. So it's like literally like a rebooting of our hard drives in our thinking, in our conscious mind. So it's about helping to reprogram, although I see it going way beyond the conscious mind. I see it going multi-layered. That's what I see
it multi-layered as well.
Yeah, it's the spiraling energy going in all of the levels of the mind and down to the cellular aspect within the central nervous system, because the whole world is like in fight flight.
Corded.
Sorry. Who's that? So it's like
echo now.
It's traumatic stress syndrome dynamic. Lyrically being echo.
Interesting. Debbie, you're echoing yourself.
So feel free to mute yourselves if you feel like that's part of the echo coming in.
Yeah,
and you can always unmute.
*6 mutes and *6 unmutes.
Exactly. So feel free to unmute at any time, but thank you, because whoever it was that just muted, the echo's gone. So.
Yeah, because part of what I was feeling in the emergency energy was that sense of terror.
Yes.
And it was like the combination of terror and rage and terror just gripping in a way. And so part of that update is to be able to face the things that we fear. To recognize that there is nothing to fear.
And actually being able to breathe into the moment to the degree that we are able to be more responsive in our lives as opposed to jumping into that immediate overreaction. Mm-hmm. So it's about honoring our emotional bodies as well as our intellectual bodies and all of the bodies of us.
Yeah.
And honoring them to the degree that we actually listen and pay attention and breathe into the moment before we step into that overreact mode. And it feels like there's a lot of, in the world, there's this crisis thinking that everything is a crisis. Everything has to be done now. And it's not about this, it's not the same thing as being in the now. It's this critical pushing energy of, I have to do it now. Or else. And so it's about just calmly tapping into the parasympathetic nervous system and giving breath and giving voice to peace. Oh, giving voice to peace. That's actually very important, giving voice to peace. And
mm-hmm.
and part of what I saw is ironic, because we actually had lunch at a little cafe today where all the fire trucks were, and the owner came out and she said, oh, it's like being back home, because she's from Israel. She said, yeah, people are back home, they see a bomb threat, and they just go about their business. And I was like, wow. So it's really about tapping into that consciousness of peace and responsibility in a way that allows us to be in the moment, recognize it for what it is, instead of making it something that it's not,
mm-hmm.
and actually being a self-fulfilling prophecy. Is that making sense?
Well, yes, because it's about the being of in the moment in a way that allows you to be at ease and at peace.
Peace, yes.
Because when you're truly in the moment, there is only peace. And the peace may be showing up as excitement, but or joy, but it's still peace.
Yes.
No matter what the feeling is, there's still a deep, deep sense of peace, regardless of the feeling, when you're truly in the moment.
Yes. And now we're going back to the heart. And in the heart, we're going to tap into that energy of peace.
It's like there's the four chambers of the heart. There's a chamber of wounds, a chamber of grace, a chamber of treasure, and the chamber of contracts. And so it's like as we go back into the heart, we're working with this place of peace in each chamber. So to go back to the place of innocence where there was peace, go back to the place of contracts where we create the contracts, where we erase the contracts which created the feeling of war inside of us to make a contract that creates peace. Go back into the chamber of treasures so that each treasure that we pull out is an instrument of peace.
Yes, that's beautifully put. And that in itself actually explains the way that we can rewrite our contracts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like working with the concept of time and time shifting. To go into the ability to rewrite our past.
It is our choice.
Risa, something's coming up through you.
Yeah. So the piece of working with this is in the heart is also about recognizing where there is the power of choice to choose peace. And we sometimes forget that is an option. And when we forget that that's an option, we give up our personal power. And so it's about claiming who we are from the place of the heart and not just the mind. Because if you take your finger and you point at someone, so everybody do that on the call, point at something in the room, and then point at yourself and notice where you point to. We always point to our heart or our solar plexus area. We never point to our head when we're saying me, I. And so it's about that recreating from the place of the heart, recontracting from the place of the heart, re-centering.
Say that again, but clarify that when somebody points to themselves, that when they say, this is me.
When we say you, we point at someone and we say I, or me, and we point at ourselves. We always, our human nature is to point at the heart or right above the solar plexus area. We don't point at our head. And so it's like that. It's like innately we want to claim our space from the heart.
Yes.
But the head tries to govern it because of the beliefs and the thoughts and the superimposed networks that are out there. But when it comes back down to who am I, who are you, who are we, it comes down to really being connected in the place of the heart, communicating from the place of the heart.
Yes.
Standing in who we are from the place of the heart.
And even more than that, it's like gathering our resources into our heart.
Mm-hmm. In addition to that.
Yeah. So it's really about needing to... Okay, so many of us have a heartfelt desire. And for whatever reason, we felt blocked. Anybody on the call have that experience? So the part of that challenge is, yes, we have a heartfelt desire, but we haven't connected to the other aspects of our being.
Belated yes to your question, Debbie, sorry.
No, that's okay. I knew that's what you were saying.
So, I was trying to unmute myself with the DS.
It's a BS.
not the star, the other one. Sorry, not the star, but the pound sign. Voila.
That's hysterical, though. You said with the BS.
Listen, I'm sorry, that was French.
Oh, mais c'est pas
what did you hear me say, Debbie?
Can you say that?
Oops.
Not too when you hear the recording.
I told you I haven't been sleeping.
Oh, that was hysterical. But that's kind of it. It's like, okay, so we get the intellectual concept of we need to connect to our heart, and yet we're feeling like we need to actually connect to our heart at the exception or at the exclusion of the other aspects of us. What we need to do is connect to our heart and then allow those other parts of us that function and have different functions in the world to actually connect. We have different intelligences, our body. We have our emotional intelligence. We have our intellectual intelligence. We have all of these different intelligences, and they need to kind of merge and intersect into the heart and into the mind, which is essentially another connection with the heart when it's actually linked, and bring them together so that we can actualize our heart's desire. So.
It's about bringing it into the mind of the heart.
Yes.
And the heart
bringing
of the
it
mind.
Into the mind of the heart, which brings me to a traditional Chinese medicine concept and what I feel that a lot of people are experiencing, which has to do with this emergency energy, is that dynamic of the heart not having a restful place, or the mind, yeah, the heart not having a restful place at night, so it wanders. And as it wanders, it causes a restlessness in the mind that doesn't allow a peaceful sleep, a peaceful dream state, which we all need. So we want to integrate those different states of consciousness as well, from the dreaming to the waking to the conscious to the subconscious, all of those different states. We want to actually set up a link, a rhythm, a flow, to bring us back into the flow of being able to be in the moment. And sometimes being in the moment means shutting down our conscious mind and sleeping. But we can't do that if our conscious mind is the only thing that's ever given any credibility. Because we're setting it out there like a lone, like it's out there all by itself, so it's isolated. And if we try to shut it down, and it's not going to be able to do that. So it's about integrating our conscious, subconscious mind in all those layers and bringing it back to the heart, to that state of peace and grace. Okay. Then we're going to go up into the brain, into the hypothalamus. It's hysterical. So the colors of the Kundalini channels, the Ida and Pingala channels, are pink and blue. And I'm watching the flashing lights here, and they're pink and blue. And I'm watching a man and a woman, policeman, right outside my window. So it's like balancing yin and yang within our nervous system, within our hearts, within our mind.
Within the dural tube.
Yes, it is. Yes, very good.
It's deep into the dural tube.
So it's like rewriting our nervous system embryonically, so that we can rewrite our history here. Because what that means is, no, we can't change our quote-unquote the facts of our past, but we can change our perceptions of the past, which does change the facts. So I'm going into the senses right now, especially that inner vision, that inner sense, those inner senses.
While you're going into the senses, the sphenoid is needing to be a little bit balanced too. The sphenoid of the of the body, of who we are.
Yes.
Because it's just like that's influencing the perceptual aspect of the senses.
And that's all being altered around the consciousness of choice, actually. Because what I'm sensing with all of this crisis energy is so many of us feel like we haven't had a choice in our life path, that somehow we ended up here, not knowing how we got here, because it isn't at all what or how we would have imagined. We imagined something very different. And so, and often we simply feel like if things aren't flowing right, there's a sense of feeling trapped, stuck, blocked. So it's about bringing in that consciousness of choice and tapping into that kidney willpower energy from the perspective of realization. The realization of we can tap into our individual willpower with the consciousness of connection to source without trying to control and override our source. And saying, you made a mistake. This is not what I wanted.
There are
no mistakes. And we're going to come right back to peace.
It's like this circle, this spiral that keeps coming back to that place of center, that place of peace, that place that of heart, the place that acknowledges desire, the place that acknowledges and manifests potential, and the place that ignites creativity and passion, and in all of that is still peace.
Yes. Beautifully put, because too often desire and passion, they're advertised so much in mainstream, and they're denigrated so much in a lot of spiritual concepts. And it's really about saying they're part of it. They're part of life. They're part of your expression here. It's part of stepping into that desire, into that passion from this place of, oof, yay. Wahoo!
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it, and let's be it, and let's step into whatever it is we're meant to come here and be.
It's like saying yes to life instead of maybe.
Yes, and actualizing your life, exactly. Saying yes to life in the physical.
Mm-hmm.
In the physical. There's been a separation in the consciousness of we're either physical or spiritual. Either or. There's been an either or consciousness.
Instead of and.
Instead of an and consciousness. It's like, let's just bring us together again. Whew.
Everybody needs to take a breath on that one.
Yes, I was going to say, let's all just take a nice deep breath.
And there's this really energy that's present, too, that is about really giving yourself permission to embrace all the colors of the rainbow.
Yeah.
Because when we embrace all the colors of the rainbow, that's when we bridge heaven and earth.
And doing that within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And recognize we all have those parts of all the colors of the rainbow in us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't make any part better than another. It makes it unique and it makes it important.
And makes it of value.
It's valuable. It's necessary. Came to mind was almost like I saw somebody waking up and saying, you know, what's the question? What color am I today? What hue am I going to represent today? Hmm. And there's a breathing into it, and I'm feeling this sense of stagnation in the group chi, in the group energy. Actually, there's a sense of depletion,
and it feels almost as if it's connected to some kind of grief.
Yeah,
grief and loss.
You know what? And Mother's Day's coming up. So it feels like it has a lot to do with those aspects of ourselves.
How are we mothering ourselves?
Yes. Or the fact that we haven't been mothering ourselves, and we haven't felt nurtured or mothered by anyone else, and we haven't realized we've had the choice. And not only the choice, it's our right and almost and our responsibility to mother ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Did Andy just show up? So it's about allowing this, I feel this energy coming in into the group energy, and it's this beautiful, soft, nurturing, mothering energy. And it's funny because a couple of the images that came in were a mother wagging her finger and a mother screaming, and it was like, not that energy. That energy is going to be transmuted, because that is not mothering energy.
No, it's not.
That's mother-in-law energy.
No, it's not either, Andy. It's typical, stereotypical mother-in-law energy. Welcome.
Thank you.
So we want to transmute that energy into more of this nourishing principle of flow and kindness and gentleness for ourselves. There's almost a fear of stepping into that, I'm feeling, actually, because there is this misunderstanding of exactly what you said, Andy. There's this misunderstanding that kindness and gentleness and flow is wishy-washy and weak and gets nothing done. And it's actually us resisting the flow that allows us to get nothing done.
Because it takes so much energy.
Yes.
But we hit a stalemate.
Yeah, it's like a blocked dam. I see a dam.
I sense that that's part of the enormity of the grief. It's the grief of what could be if it were different. Or the loss of what could have been had it been.
Yes, that's really big, a loss of what could have been. And actually what just came to mind, too, is not only the loss of what could have been, but now I'm feeling several people feeling too late.
Yeah, and
like
it's not
a sense of what could have been, and it's almost too late to actually live my dream. I missed my opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And that creates more fear.
Yeah. And that's stepping into a very, like quicksand, that's stepping into a very limited viewpoint that actually blocks and stagnates the creativity.
Yeah, that creates much more stagnated energy.
Mm-hmm. What did they post? Good. So, somebody just posted on the New Moon website, on Facebook.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm just going to say an intention is to allow ourselves to learn to be who we really are and not feel guilty about no longer being able to show up as your old self.
Well, and I do think that is key, because one of the reasons we often hesitate to step into the new is because what might other people think of me now?
Yes.
If I step into who I really am now.
Especially family members and people that we're in relationship with, close relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about stepping into that ability to represent yourself in all your glory.
And committing to yourself.
Yep. And an archetype just showed up, Mae West.
Because the truth is, when we choose not to commit to ourselves because of fear of what other people will think, it's really more about our fear of what we will think.
It's our fear of being, you know what, it's a very primal fear. It goes back to primitive cellular memory of us being ostracized if we were different, and we would die back then, you know? Ostracized, you're kicked out of the village. Literally, you might freeze to death or be eaten by something. So it feels like a very primitive, primal fear that hasn't biologically, has just been stuck in a time loop in our cells and in our nervous system, and that whole dural tube that we talked about at the beginning of the call, to needing to be transmuted and evolved in our evolution.
It's kind of like if we're not really in the game, if we're not committed to playing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like maybe your body's out in the field, but if your soul's on the bench, then you're living soullessly. And soulless play is worse than no play at all.
Well, that just came up with another image of people sitting on the bench and not getting chosen for the team.
Hmm.
So the not good enough gene.
Hmm.
So rather than be rejected, I won't play at all.
Yeah.
So that in itself is self-rejection, because it's like saying, I'll reject myself before anybody else gets a chance to.
And when we get in that place, we get lost in our thoughts and in our heads, as opposed to being in touch with the body sensations and the breath. Because it's when we're in touch with the body that we can actually take the action to move forward.
And then the endorphins can kick in.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything flows. How many people have had the experience on the call of you just jumped in and did something, and all of a sudden it was like you had this amazingly synchronistic day or experience? And how connected did you, and how much did you really pay attention to what anybody else thought?
Like just showing up and being what feels right.
Yep.
And that's about taking healthy responsibility of the self and creating freedom from that place.
Again, back to choice.
Mm-hmm.
Choosing one step at a time. That's another thing that's coming up, because what I'm seeing is like so many people have had these heart's desire, and we've tried over and over again to connect all of these parts intellectually, and then we've stepped into this major endeavor and we've tried to do so much at once and tried to change everything and tried to peel away everything and tried to be this amazing, wonderful person we know we are by getting rid of everything that we know we're not, and then only to come out the other side exhausted and frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about giving ourselves permission to savor the moment through the senses, to be able to taste it, smell it, experience it, and be able to take those baby steps that allow us to jump into those big projects.
Mm-hmm.
So that we don't set ourselves up for failure from the get-go.
There's a big difference between knowing what you're not and knowing what you are.
Yeah.
And knowing what you are really boils down to what do you want to be. And that's pretty scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to identify what's wrong with the situation. It's not always easy to identify what you really want.
Yes.
Because when you start getting it, or you start asking for what you want, and then it comes, and you think, oh, okay. Because it never shows up how you think it will.
Exactly.
I had an experience with that just the last few days, and it's like, oh, okay. So.
Yes. I actually, when I first learned Silva, I had an experience where I got exactly what I want, and I ended up, it wasn't exactly what I wanted at all. So it scared the crap out of me, so I kind of quit doing it for a long
mm-hmm.
time.
When you get what you really want, and or when it starts, or you put forth this energetic thing and then things are showing up, it can be kind of scary. I mean, you think, oh, I got what I wanted, but, because number one, what are the consequences of what you want? It, you know, and that change, what's different, but it's...
Yes. So what we want to do is call on clarity, please. clarity with ease, because what I see is, the answer I got was, well, you get clarity every time you get what you want and you realize that wasn't what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. I didn't want that. But then you realize that that is what you asked for.
Exactly.
So, then you get scared to ask because you might get it and then it's going to be not what you want. So it's kind of like what you were talking about earlier about not even asking.
Exactly. I'm not even going to play because I know I'm going to screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's really kind of like going from ego-centeredness to connection in our desires and what we ask for.
Yeah, it goes a little bit deeper than that, too.
That's just the clarity.
Tapping into that clarity, that heart-centered clarity.
Kind of like the stone said, you can't always get what you want, but you get what you need. And
yeah.
And sometimes you're like, oh, no. So, because it can be big things like, oh, you just lost your job. And, I guess I did sort of ask for that, didn't I? Or I could see how the universe would give me that, you know, you lose your house or a relationship or... And you're like, oh, okay, that was the consequences of asking for that. So.
And then there's the other side of that. The universe doesn't like a vacuum. So in order for you to actually get what you want, you need a vacuum. So you need some space for something. So change... is freaky too. So if even those who get what they want and then they think, okay, well, I don't want this to change. And then that we don't realize that no change in this reality is death. Lifelessness. It's flatlining.
Well, it's like the biggest enemy of our desire is our comfort zone.
Yes. I just saw that quite clearly in my own life because I'm going through storage and it's like I'm like trying to get things in order and I want to get them in order and I want to keep them in order and then I just realized myself, duh. I keep them in order. I'm static and stagnant.
Well, there can be order and chaos.
Exactly.
I mean, there is a certain thing about structure that does give room for expansion and growth.
Yes.
And so to deny structure can sometimes deny growth.
So, you know what? We need a plug-in.
I think Andy has that one.
For clarity and of exactly that, What is order without stagnation? In other words, what is structure without rigidity? What is structure with flow and creative ability?
Well, it's like in a business. If you systemize things in business, then it creates freedom.
Yep.
And so there is a time when structure does create freedom, and it creates expansion, and it creates growth. Structure doesn't have to be rigid.
Right. Feels like we need to download that into that whole dynamic of when we were starting with the central nervous system and that whole fight-flight response.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, and that whole dynamic of I'm not going to play the game. So when you set yourself up for that, when you say I'm not going to play the game of life, then the game of life plays you. And that also includes our environments. I'm not going to become aware of a certain. I'm not going to get involved with anything like this because I don't like it. I'm not going to pay any attention to it. And so, if you don't pay any attention to it, and it's part of our reality, it sneaks up on you, and it gets your attention. Finances, for instance.
Your body, for instance.
Yes.
Not listening to the body, then it sneaks up on you and things begin to happen.
Yes. So it's about helping us tap into the flow of this world without being wrapped in a spider web of congestion and and pain.
She's on her way.
So, I think I'm going to take a drink right now. I highly suggest everybody does.
I just did. It's like seeing ourselves for the depth that we are.
Say that again.
It's like seeing ourselves for the depth that we are. Like we don't always look at the depth of what's really there, possible, the depth of love, the depth of graciousness, the depth of compassion, the depth of desire, the depth. You know, we look at things in width a lot of times and height, but we oftentimes leave out the depth. We forget about the depth because it's the depth that really works on the inner part.
And that would mean pausing and taking a breath. It's really about helping us to breathe into the moment, irregardless of the chaos. And then the chaos quiets, or not. But we can continue to function healthily and clearly. Not just coping. I feel like that's being downloaded, and I feel like the brain chemistry is being altered.
Yeah, I feel like it's being reorganized.
Yes. Structure of the throat. Including the chakra, but the whole structure of the throat. And the neck, actually. So I'm feeling like the internal dynamic of the throat, as well as the neck and the way, the range of motion and what we, the way we actually are able to view the world. It's like, what is our range of motion? What is our ability to look in a different direction if we don't like what we see here? Or what is our ability to go inward and look in a different direction and look for our inner reason?
Well, and there's another piece with
our ability
that.
To express our heart's desires.
Well, and there's another piece with that, Debbie, that has to do with really knowing what your yeses are and what your no's are and being able to vocalize those. Because oftentimes we might say yes to something when we really mean no, or we might say no when we really want to say yes. And so it's like really getting clarity on that, too, and being able to speak that.
Yeah, there are two things with that, clarity and honesty, self-honesty. It's like a lot of times we talk ourselves out of what we want because we don't think it's what the people around us, we don't think it fits our environment.
And it's like one of the things that, it's like getting clear on what are your absolute yeses and what are your absolute noes. Those
mm-hmm.
things that are just integral to your very core. Like the three things you absolutely will not put up with. And the three things that you absolutely know you must have be connected with relationships. So that you begin to own who you are from that place as well. And that's about the truth, you know, knowing who you truly are.
Yeah, acknowledging we're human and we have needs.
Exactly.
And being able to express them. Andy, what's going on?
Me? Feels like it's just connecting in that throat stuff, neck stuff. It's like the neck is a bridge between a bridge or a block between the heart and the head. So, you know, and even if you're looking the wrong way or looking a way that's not best, it literally kind of twists the messages trying to come up from the heart. So some of it is getting an alternate pathway. It normally runs up through the spine and or, you know, through the back like that. And I remember the prefrontal cortex, the heart plug-in from years ago during Body Talk. It was circulated around so that it could go either direction to allow that communication. So especially if it's blocked in the head, it could kind of communicate outside of that.
Nice.
Almost the difference between, like, you know, plugged into the computer versus Wi-Fi, you know, so it allows for that non-physical connection, so to speak.
It gives options. So options for it to, instead of being stuck behind one pathway.
Yeah, and one of the things that was coming out earlier when was something you were talking about with the holding the dam back, and you know it's a lot harder to hold the dam back, building a huge dam, having to keep your fingers in the dike, having to keep shoring it up versus just letting the river flow, if that's what's supposed to happen. So, and sometimes it's just allowing things to flow through you and then seeing what shifts happen rather than the fear that holds you back. The fear of change that takes all this energy to hold back versus knowing that when you let that energy out or, you know, when it's flowing out, there's probably going to be some stuff hitting the fan. But if it's what's coming up, it needs to just be let go.
And trusting that. Yes, exactly. Trusting that.
Mm-hmm. Having trust that all this blasting or this whatever it is, like I said, it was an experience this week, and it was, I knew something was building. I didn't know what it was, and when it happened, I was like, oh, okay. You know, not what I expected, but okay. That's kind of, I guess, what I was asking for. So.
Mm-hmm. And then knowing that you can ask again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a constant process, so.
So clarifying, clarifying, clarifying.
Yep, it's sitting in that space, allowing, letting go at times. There may be times when it is holding back or modifying that, you know, process, but it's often better just to let it flow, and then when there's a real strong need to let it flow, and then just sort of dealing with what was coming through, because it was obviously supposed to happen. So, and saying, wow, isn't that interesting, once you get over the shock. So.
Yes. And that's actually a very good thing to say. Instead of saying, ooh, that was awful.
It's not good or bad. Isn't it Marita that used to always say that? Isn't that interesting?
No, actually, I used to say that. If I had a bad day, I'd say, oh, it was interesting. If I had a really bad day, I'd say, ooh, that is fascinating.
Yeah.
Just to give you a little bit of wiggle room so that you're not stuck in those negative connotations.
Yep.
And you can have different pathways that way. Otherwise, we go down the same old rut of, ugh.
Try to be less judgmental of what is to allow it to maybe make more sense later. It's often not making sense in the now.
Yes, I'm open to knowing what this is all about.
But not necessarily today.
Or not. I'm open to just being in it. I feel some digestive issues going on. Goes back to that throat thing and the alimentary canal. It's like, it's like a reverse flow I'm feeling, like even in the alimentary canal, you know, a reverse flow. Many of us are stuck in that opposite flow, so things are backing up and going backwards instead of for our benefit. And I'm feeling that in the digestive system.
Sometimes you just need to throw it back up.
Exactly. I need to throw it back up. But it's causing issues in the throat. Causing issues in the esophagus. And several people are having those issues. So it's like I can't stomach what's going on in my life. I can't stomach the thought, which means as soon as it hits the stomach, it says, nope, back up. So we need to balance that whole dynamic of the alimentary canal and the stomach spleen area, because it's like saying, uh-uh, I'm spitting that one back up.
If you swallow something poisonous, sometimes you have to throw it back up. Sometimes you have to take something to absorb the toxin. Sometimes you just have to let it pass through. So, again, it's kind of a discernment.
Yeah, so we need to do a kind of integration, though, with that whole alimentary canal. Oh, you know, because the alimentary canal is considered outside the body anyway. So it's like, okay, we need to integrate it into the body. Yes, it may be considered a system on its own, but it's still in the body. Ha-ha. And it's part of the flow. Now I see the river flowing.
It's part of recognizing we don't have to do it all by ourselves.
Yes.
When to ask for help, when not to.
And knowing help is readily available. And actually knowing we have more help within ourselves than we recognize. By gathering our inner resources, we're gathering our inner tribe. And that makes us more available for our outer tribe. Nice. I just saw like all these ancient tribes. want to dance a celebration.
Celebration of integration.
Yes, I love it. That's our theme today. Celebration of integration. And I feel like that does wrap it up. How do you guys feel?
Yeah.
It feels that way to me.
That's awesome. Celebration of integration, that's awesome. That feels like a dance to me. I feel.
Yeah, the Cool and the Gang song Celebration is going through my head, so.
Yeah, what was that?
The song by Cool and the Gang, Celebration,
yeah,
going through my head. So.
Nice. Okay.
Good work.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Anybody
Sorry,
have anything
late.
They need?
I'm surprised I even made it this week, so.
Thank you.
You what?
It's been crazy.
What was that, Andy?
Oh, I said I'm surprised I was even able to make it as busy as we were all day. It's like the sky's opened up and I had a break. So.
Oh, that's nice, because I told Teresa when we came on, I haven't heard from you, so I had a feeling you might not show up.
I didn't figure I would, but then, like I said, it was supposed to be, so.
Yeah.
Like last
yeah.
week, I had to go once, and then I thought I'd get back, and then I had to go again, and then I couldn't get back. So, oh. But.
I know, but that's okay. It's great. So I'm glad you guys made it, both of you. I'm glad all of you made it. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. It was a wonderful session.
You're very welcome. And the recording will be available either later tonight or this weekend.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank yes, thank you, you everyone.
And
thank you.
And,
thank you all.
You're welcome, guys.
And I've got to go. I've got another. My next patient came in perfect time. So
oh, perfect timing. Thanks, Andy.
Right,
thanks,
bye.
Andy. Have a good evening.
You too.
Thanks, Andy.
And thank you,
thanks.
Teresa, and thank you, Debbie.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes,